So you'll see there's two passages I'm reading from John 14, 1 to 7, and then from verse 15 on to 27, all on page 1082. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen. We thank God for his word to us, and we pray, even as we reflect, we pray that God's word might be living to us today. So, first couple of slides very quickly, because I've shown them each week. We've been exploring John's Gospel, two key questions that are being answered in John's Gospel. Who is the Messiah, the Christ, the King? And what is the nature of the King's kingdom? And John answers these questions by relating stories, accounts of signs and sayings. And he says that, look, I've recorded all of these. I could have recorded many, many more, but there wasn't space. But I've recorded these ones that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And the signs we've been looking at, we've seen seven different signs, changing the water into wine, healing the royal official's son, healing the paralyzed man at the pool, feeding over 5,000 people, walking on the water, healing the man born blind, and then latterly raising Lazarus from the dead. And also, coincidentally, there are seven sayings. And all of these are I am sayings. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And then the sixth one that we're on at present, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's just one more to come. Now, we looked at I am the way last week. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we focused on I am the way. And we reflected that the key mark of following Jesus on his way is that of love. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, so the passage immediately previous to the passage that I began with from John 14, immediately prior to that, Jesus says to the disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." And we reflected, it's always good to say the obvious, and this is it: Jesus is the way. I am the way, Jesus is the way, and the way is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of love. And living in the way of Jesus reveals God the Father. Now, that might appear a little curious to us. What does that mean? Living in the way, living in Christ, living in the way of love, living in this lifestyle of love, following the teaching and example of Jesus, reveals to us God the Father. As Jesus himself said, "I am in the Father and the Father is in me." How do we come to discover the Father? It is by discovering Jesus. If we want to know what God the Father is like, we look at Jesus. If we want to know what God the Father wants us to do with our lives, well, we follow the teaching and example of Jesus, and the Spirit makes it clear to us. So that's what we did in that first part: I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we're going to focus on I am the truth. I am the truth. And of course, it's always good to state the obvious. Okay? You ready for the obvious? Jesus is the truth. But it's worth saying, just so that we note it down. Jesus is the truth. Right at the beginning of the gospel, one of the great things about some of the gospels, Mark's gospel certainly, and also John's gospel, is that they write this extraordinary account of the life of Jesus, what he did and what he said, his character, and so much else about him. So many things that would make Jesus attractive to the readers of the Gospels. But in many books that you or I read, so often we are left to the end for the answer to be revealed to us. And in John's Gospel, of course, the key questions are, who is the Messiah, the Christ, the King, and what's the nature of his kingdom? And we might expect that John would leave the answer right to the end of the Gospel. But what he does in chapter 1, so his introduction, he gives us the answer, and then he unpacks the answer as he goes through. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, John says, "The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Another word for this word, grace, is steadfast love. Full of grace, full of steadfast love and truth. And that's what John has noticed about Jesus. He is full of steadfast love, of this grace, but he's also full of truth. And then a few verses later, John records, "The law, well, that was given through Moses." We're familiar with the law, but grace, steadfast love, and truth has come to us through Jesus Christ. And so we pin this very clearly on Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Whatever this truth is, it's Jesus. And I know that I'm sure we all have memories of Sunday school, and, you know, what's the answer to a complicated question in Sunday school? It's Jesus. Well, it really is Jesus today. You know, what's the answer? What is the truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. So that's the first thing to note. The second is this. Let's do that again. The second is this. The truth is inseparable from the way. So we have reflected, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we could, in a way, separate these out. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And even as I have reflected last week and this week, we might take that. You know, last week we reflected on, I am the way. This week, I am the truth. But the truth is inseparable from the way. Because Jesus is the way and the truth. Jesus is never, ever the way and not the truth, or the truth and not the way. And so for us, if we apply this to ourselves, to be on the way, to be following Jesus in his lifestyle, this lifestyle of love, it is to live in the truth. And to live in the truth is to be on the way. We can't have one without the other. We cannot say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Christ, and not allow the truth to invade our lives. We can't say, well, I've got the truth, and not be following Jesus. Not in John's Gospel, in the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 1, familiar perhaps to many of us, these words are written, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's so easy to say, well, I'm a Christian. I prayed a prayer. I began the journey. Maybe even we say, I prayed a prayer and now I'm in. I used to be out, but now I'm in. And we can think, well, that's it. But if we say we are a Christian, if we say we follow Jesus and we are on the way, then deceit has no part in us. Truth invades our lives and the light of the truth shines in us. And so we need to know Jesus is the truth. The truth is inseparable from the way. And if we're on the way, then our lives begin to reflect this reality. Now, I'll put up this word, integrity, and let's have a bit of a jigsaw there. What's integrity about? We often get it spoken about. People in public office, we expect them to have integrity. What we mean is, we expect their words and their deeds to fit together. We expect what they say to match their deeds. We expect them to tell the truth, in other words, and for these two things to come together. And if we are following Jesus, if we are on the way, then our lives should reflect this integrity, reflect this connecting of, I am on the way, I am following the teaching and example of Jesus. And our lives should reflect that in what we do. So our lives should reflect things like compassion and justice and truth and even life itself. There is something about the abundance of life. So truth is inseparable from the way, and our lives will and should reflect that quality of integrity. Now, the third thing is to live in the truth, to be true. I should put a question mark at the end of that. It's a bit like love is, question mark. You know, what do we mean when we speak of truth? And in fact, what does the Bible mean? What does the Bible say? When we study it and we mine into the depths of the Bible to discover what does the Bible say about to be in the truth? What does John's Gospel say about what it means to be in the truth, to be true? I'm going to list some things very quickly here. And the first one I've just mentioned, integrity. Our lives reflect integrity. If we say we're on the way, if we say we're a Christian, then it will be visible in our lives. The light of Christ is shining in us and we are being transformed. Another example we can turn to is that of being open. Now, I've noted down a verse there, John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles open, maybe you want to turn to it very quickly. John chapter 3, verse 21. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. John's gospel in particular thinks of truth as not being hidden. If you are living in the truth, if you are being true, then what you do will be in the open, and there'll be no sense of deception in it. And following on from that, John's gospel sees truth as that which is real and not an illusion. It's not a fantasy. It's not something that is going to deceive us or trip us up. It is real and solid, and it is trustworthy. It's faithful. To be true is to be faithful. And certainly in the Bible, when we speak of God being faithful, you can't take away this element of being loving. God's faithfulness and lovingness are intertwined together. To live in the truth is to be faithful, to be reliable and trustworthy. And this next one, to live in the truth is to be a blessing. To live in the truth is to be a blessing. And this comes back to this idea of integrity. Our words and our deeds coming together. We say with our mouths, we confess Christ is our Lord. We say we're following Jesus. And if that is true, then the truth, the light of Christ will invade our lives. And inevitably, we will be a blessing to others. We will be a blessing to others. In my experience, sometimes we'd like this to be true. We'd like to think that we are a blessing. But so often, I know for me, I get in the way. All my hang-ups, you know, my many, many hang-ups, they get in the way. And that's true for others as well. All sorts of things get in the way. And I just have to go back to God and allow His Holy Spirit to fill me afresh and to flow through me, so that as I follow Jesus the way, seek to live in His lifestyle of love, as the light of Jesus, His truth, floods my life, I will be a blessing. I will be a blessing. And then this last one. What does it mean to live in the truth? It means to be human. Now, I've just put in the bracket, fully human. But it actually means to be human. What does it mean to be human today? It is to live in the truth. John 8, 32, I've noted there. And again, if you have your Bible and you want to flick to that, John 8, 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I think it's a cry of so many hearts to be free, to be free, to be human. We might say to be fully human, to be more human, to discover, why was I born? What is my purpose in life? Who am I? It is to be free. And we are only free if we follow Jesus, the truth, and live in the light. So to live in the truth, to be true, are at least all of these things: integrity, being open, real, faithful, reliable, trustworthy, a blessing, and being human. Number four, speak about the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may have noticed as I read the passage that Jesus says, I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor. So Jesus is a counselor for the disciples, but the Father will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And then later on in this same passage, that this of course speaks of faithfulness, being with you forever, Jesus says, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So the Spirit of Truth comes to us to fill us with truth and reality and humanness and the blessing to be all that God intended us to be. And the Spirit will be faithful to us in that. But he will also, the Spirit of Truth will come to us and he will testify, he will bear witness to Jesus. He will constantly be that inner voice, that reminder to us of what Jesus looks like and what Jesus has taught us. And it may be that that's been our experience from time to time. We've been aware of we might talk about the nudging of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit just, as it were, tapping us on the shoulder and reminding us of who Jesus is, reminding us what Jesus said, reminding us what Jesus did. He will bear witness to Jesus. And of course, the impact for us is that we begin to have that deeper awareness of what it means to bear witness to Jesus in our lives. And as we do that, sometimes we come up in situations with conflict, not because we're being annoying. I know we can all be annoying from time to time, but simply standing for the principles that Jesus stood for, of love and compassion and kindness and justice and mercy and truth. Right at the end, or towards the end of John's Gospel, we have an extraordinary scene where Jesus has been arrested by the Romans. And Jesus is taken to the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate begins to challenge Jesus about who Jesus is or who Jesus thinks he is. And there is that extraordinary moment where Jesus speaks to Pontius Pilate, the governor, an immensely powerful man. Jesus speaks to Pontius Pilate about the truth. And do you remember Pontius Pilate's response? What is truth? Remember? What is truth? And I think for Pontius Pilate, to this question, what is truth? Is, if we can imagine that truth is like a magnificent oil painting, and there is a magnificent frame on the oil painting, and at the bottom of the painting is the name of the painting, truth. No idea what it looks like, but just imagine a magnificent oil painting with a great frame and the title at the bottom, truth. And what happens in public life so often, what happens in politics so often, is that political leaders and those with ambition and those with power and privilege come along and they see this magnificent oil painting and they see the title Truth and they say, I don't quite like the look of this. And so they get out their own paints and they begin to change it a little bit and they paint over what is there. And then somebody else comes along and they don't like that either, so they just paint over it again, and then somebody else comes along and the name of the painting they can see says truth, but over time, the painting, truth, doesn't look like it used to look. It no longer looks like truth, but it looks like the powerful person's own curation of truth. It looks like what they want truth to look like. And so for a political leader, for a powerful and ambitious person, they have manipulated truth and they come to a point of going, I know what it looks like, but it doesn't ring true anymore. I don't even know what truth is anymore because it's been manipulated and changed and painted over. And that is what Pontius Pilate is responding to. He has probably lied and cheated and then lied and cheated on top of his lies and his cheating. And he no longer knows what truth is. And that perhaps is a relevant comment on today's politics. People no longer know what truth is. And those who are filled with the spirit of truth speak the truth, and they live the truth, a truth of compassion and kindness and mercy. And they say what we see reflected as our political leader's truth is not true. And we refuse to believe it. So the gift of the Holy Spirit causes us to bear witness to Jesus. And then later on, Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And of course, this is a reminder to us of a lifelong journey into truth. You know, it's a terrible confession to make, but I'm sure that there were many moments when I was young and I was eager and enthusiastic and passionate. Not that I'm not eager and enthusiastic and passionate now, I am. But you know what I mean, when I was young and I'd come to faith and I'd been brought up in church and I was pretty sure I knew what the answers were. Anybody else? You know, we knew what the answers were. And given every opportunity, we'd tell people what the truth was. And yet, we come to realize that as the Spirit of truth fills us, he is faithful to us and he bears witness to Jesus in us. And it's a lifelong guiding into truth. Day by day and week by week, the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And many times we will turn away from the truth because it's difficult for us to stomach. Sometimes we're afraid because we know if we accept what God is doing in us and revealing in us, we may lose friends. But God, in his grace, is a good father and guides us well into truth. My fifth, you'll be glad this is the last one. Made holy by the truth. Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them, that means make them holy. What does that mean? Jesus saying, I want these people to stand out for all the right reasons. I want them to stand out. To be made holy is in some way to be made separate, different. I want these disciples to stand out because they follow Jesus. I want them to stand out and to be known because they live by the truth and the love and the mercy and the kindness and the justice of God. And so we, day by day and week by week, year by year, we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. I trust that God might continue to work in our hearts and lives. We might hold on to the reality that Jesus is the truth, that the truth is inseparable from the way, that there's a whole list of characteristics, of values regarding what it means to live in the truth, that we will reflect that the gift of the Holy Spirit is to bring truth to us and to guide us into truth. And in all of this, we are made holy. We are made to stand out because we are the people of the truth and the way and the life of Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you are our good Father. Father, thank you that in all things you know us. You know our weaknesses and our frailties. You know our fears and our concerns. And Father, thank you that as you come to us and pour out your Holy Spirit in us and reveal more of Jesus to us, you do so in a way that is gentle and kind. And that day by day, you transform us into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we, with humility, understand increasingly what it means to live as those who follow the truth. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.